We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
What's up? Welcome in. This is Hogan Johns, episode 149. We are very, very close to the 150 mark. How about that?
Yeah. What, are we going to throw a party?
I tried to celebrate the 100th episode, and you were in Ireland. So I was partying. You were partying. You were celebrating. I was not. I was in Bourbonnais.
Get your priorities in order.
Partying with Eric Edholm on the podcast.
Yes. I think you're filling crew. Jared Payton did one, right?
JP did one. But I think Eric did the 100th episode. So we'll have to make it up.
Okay.
Get to 200 sooner than later.
Yeah. I feel like so much has happened since 148.
It has. Yeah. We did that Tuesday. We knew about the Allen Robinson signing. We knew about Trey Burton.
Taylor Gabriel, right? But, was he included
in
that? Yeah.
I'm not sure we knew about that, though, when we recorded. But anyway, we know about all those guys now. There have been press conferences at Hallis Hall, which we were at. And we have a big Kyle Fuller development, too, that we need to cover. So plenty to talk about on the podcast today. This is episode 149 of Hogan Johns. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can read us at WGNradio.com/Bears. ChicagoSunTimes.com is where you can read Johnsy. And if you don't already subscribe to the podcast, you should. It's available on iTunes. It's available on Google Play. It's available on TuneIn. Just search Hogan Johns. Please rate and review the podcast if you don't mind. Well, hello, guys.
Hello. Yellow.
What's going on?
What's up? What do you want to talk about? Kyle Fuller first?
I think we got to start with Kyle Fuller. So Friday night, this all goes down. Kyle Fuller was in Green Bay, I can tell you, on Friday, visiting with the Packers, creating some leverage. And I had been told after the transition tag came along that his camp felt pretty confident that there would be some interest from other teams. My understanding is that there were two offer sheets presented to him. The other came from the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
Matt Nagy's other team. And the offer he preferred, and maybe the one that gave him a little bit more leverage with the Chicago Bears, is the Green Bay Packers. So Kyle Fuller signed that on Friday, and it seemed like it was less than an hour. Ryan Pace said, yeah, we're going to match that.
I don't get the argument that the Bears weren't prepared for that. That they misread the market. That, hey, no one else wants Kyle Fuller about us. No one's going to call our bluff. It's all going to work out for us in a cheap way. No, I always thought the Bears thought there was going to be competition for him. They just had a disagreement on his price, and they went this route to help determine that price.
Yeah, look, he's a 26-year-old cornerback who played very well in 2017. There's going to be competition for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way it is. And look, first and foremost, congrats to Kyle Fuller. I think his agents played this great. I think he came out with an average of $14 million, which I think is a little bit more than the Bears were expecting to pay.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more than I was expecting them to pay. And I think it actually was a little bit more than Kyle Fuller thought he was going to get out of this. So they played this great. From the Bears' perspective, though, I don't think they necessarily played this wrong. They had a difference in value, clearly, but in the two sides and how they valued Kyle Fuller. And they weren't very close. So they let other teams do the negotiating for them, and then they just had to make the decision to match or not.
They had to match. Had to absolutely match. Even more so because it became the Green Bay Packers. You can't let your best young cornerback leave for the rival team. You just can't allow that to happen. So, yeah, the money, the way it shakes out, you know, you can have your arguments to it whether or not it's in the Bears' favor or not, but number one, you can't let your rival take your best cornerback. And two, trust Vic Fangio. If Vic Fangio likes the guy, believes in the guy, believes he is something different than the player who missed all of the 2016 season because of minor knee scope, then trust the guy. You hired him. You made him one of the highest paid coordinators in the league. Trust that judgment.
So Kyle Fuller gets 4 years, $56 million, right? $56
million. Nice, nice, nice.
$18 million of that is guaranteed. Tremaine Johnson got the most. He signed a five-year, $72 million contract. I'll try to find that guaranteed money here in a second. But it's obviously more. So Kyle worked out. I mean, but Tremaine Johnson's 2 years older, too. So
Kyle Fuller's 26 years old. Yeah. We got to stress that.
And part of the reason why he actually wanted a four-year contract, I believe, is because he can now get the free agency at age 30.
His last run, probably.
So, and if he doesn't make all 4 years through the Bears, then he gets there even earlier. So let's talk about this a little bit for the Bears, because the Packers, by doing this, you're forced to match what the Packers wrote up. Essentially, Kyle Fuller signed a contract with Green Bay. And the Bears just had the right to take that contract from them, is essentially how it works. So it's an interesting deal that's a little bit different than from what Ryan Pace has been doing. It's still the guaranteed money's still front loaded. It's all in year one, the fully guaranteed money. It's an $18 million signing bonus, and the way that works is that gets spread out over 4 years from a cap perspective. The money all gets paid up. From 10 days he signs a contract, he's going to have $18 million in his bank account. Congratulations to Kyle Fuller for that. I'd love to have that.
$18 million up front?
Just right. Like
plus the $2 million yeah. salary for the year that you know you're going to get. So $20 million Kyle Fuller is getting this year.
Yep. And then there's basically his 2019 salary is guaranteed too, just because of the structure of the contract. It would cost the Bears $13.5 million against the cap to cut him. So you know he's going to be a Bear for at least 2 years, unless something crazy happens, like he gets traded or something weird like that. So the point here being, this is a look. You always overpay in free agency, and I think Kyle Fuller's probably getting overpaid here a little bit, no question. Mm-hmm. But I think the Bears probably knew that was going to be the case, the route they went. So the difference here is, we've seen Ryan Pace overpay a lot, actually, with some of these deals. I mean,
always overpay.
Mike Glennon got overpaid a bajillion dollars. Yeah. But the way that they have structured all these contracts, they can get out of them usually after 1 year. This is not something that I think is going to kill the Bears in year three or year four, especially if Kyle plays well and continues to play well, then it's a non-issue. Then he's going to be worth what he's getting paid. But having the signing bonus, a big signing bonus, spread out the way it is, it does make it a little bit harder to cut him down the road if it gets to that point. So this is probably not the ideal contract that Joey Lane and Ryan Pace would have drawn up for Kyle Fuller. But given
that's
the
probably why they didn't come to an agreement before this.
Exactly. But given the circumstances, I don't see how they couldn't have matched this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, you always overpay in free agency. We should just like write that in everybody's foreheads. It's just commonplace. Look at Tremaine Johnson's deal. Look, Malik Jackson not too long ago. You always overpay. But I think Kyle Fuller, while there is a level of uncertainty, and I'm not completely sold on what type of player he is, I think a lot of the things he did last year have been overrated here in Chicago. Good player. I don't think he's a great player. That said, you still need players. You still need good players. And you got to pay for those good players sometimes. And yes, this deal may not be ideal for the Bears. I just don't see how you could have let him walk. Letting your first round picks, regardless or not if you drafted them, leave every year is bad business. It's bad business. You need talented players in your roster. And yes, I don't think Kyle Fuller is a great player. He's a good player. But you still need, he's still probably better than what was out there in terms of your other options at cornerback. So you had to bring him back.
Yeah. And by the way, Tremaine Johnson, the guaranteed money, $34 million compared to Kyle's $18 million, which is actually more like $27 million. So, again,
you have to pay if you're going to get into this game of free agency.
Yeah. The one thing in this contract that is a little interesting to me is because his salary goes up every year, the cap hit becomes pretty big in the fourth year, really the third and fourth year.
What's the cap hit in the fourth year?
Fourth year is $18.5 million. It's a huge cap hit for, yeah, you know, a guy who, like you just said, and I don't know.
There is some uncertain feelings about him.
Yeah.
And you can have those.
Yeah.
I think he's a good player, not a great player. I mean, he could be great. Who knows?
Right.
Maybe this motivates him, or maybe it doesn't.
But if the Bears continue to be diligent about their cap situation, which they really have done a good job under Ryan Pace, then that probably won't kill you. Great players get paid a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, good players do too.
Right, especially you know, when they...
Sometimes bad players do as well.
Exactly.
As we've seen here in Chicago. It's just, like when you're trying to fill and add to your team through free agency, you're going to have bad contracts kind of on your books. It's just going to happen.
And we can break down the contract, and this is the time of year that you do those things because it's free agency. But the bottom line is Kyle just needs to play well.
Yeah.
If he continues to play like he did in 2017, and I tend to believe that's probably the best he...
You think 2017's his ceiling? I think if he gets, you know, he got his hands on a lot of balls, Adam.
I'd like to see him get his hands on more balls.
And if he does, then...
Lots of balls.
But he needs more interceptions.
Yeah, he needs to catch those balls.
Yes.
Grasp those balls. And return those balls.
Okay.
I'd like to see him get his hands on more balls.
It's a very detailed description of what,
but that's what he has to do.
Kyle Fuller needs to do in 2018.
That is exactly what he needs to do. Prince Amukamara too.
But we're in agreement that the Bears made the right move here.
Yes, yes, yes.
Man, if he had gone to Green Bay.
See, if the money was ridiculous, like when the news first came out, oh, God, Green Bay Packers just signed up to an offer sheet. What the heck are Bears going to do? Like, if it was... if it was like a Tremaine Johnson deal,
yeah,
I would have let him walk. See ya. Bye-bye.
It's pretty close to the point where I would have let him walk.
Pretty close.
But I still think it's in the range of you keep him. Meanwhile, if nothing else, the Packers like don't have any corners at all right now.
They can have Sheldon Richardson. You think he's still a good player? Not on every down.
Not an every down player and bad locker room guy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that worked out well for him with Martellus Bennett giving that a run.
Right. I've been really critical of what Green Bay's doing, and that doesn't change. As long as they have number 12, they're going to be fine. But
he's just a Shea McClellan sack away from being on IR again, though, Adam.
Let's see. Let's come back to this in 2 or 3 years. See where the Packers are. Because I think they're heading in the wrong direction, and it's going to fall apart real fast. So, and beyond Kyle Fuller, I think you look at what the Bears have done in the last week, and look, we learned this the hard way last year. How many of those players from that press conference in March saw on the team?
But he's different than those guys. I don't think you could put him in the same conversation as a Marcus Cooper or Marcus Wheaton.
Oh, Kyle Fuller?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not talking about. Okay. I'm just talking about the whole draft class now.
All right.
You know, this big unveiling last week at House Hall. Allen Robinson, Trey Burton, Cody Parkey. Love the kicker being rolled out on free agency day.
First one out, right? Was he not?
He was.
Yes.
He was. And then, who am I forgetting? Oh, Chase Daniel.
Chase Daniel.
Good interview class, though.
They're all very affable.
Mm-hmm.
Charismatic, more so than last year, where guys are a bit more reserved and quiet.
They're not all going to work out.
The one you need to work out is Allen Robinson. That's it.
Yeah,
I have a lot of questions about Trey Burton. He got a lot of money. He's now one of the highest paid tight ends in the league, and he has never been one of the best tight ends in the league, and now he's going to be asked to be that.
But I understand. Look, like we just said, anytime you sign anybody in free agency, you're taking a chance and you're overpaying. I'd rather do that with the younger guy that still is projecting upward than the guy who's probably about to go downward.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not always going to work out. Ryan Pace has been taking these chances, and a lot of times they haven't worked. And he's done it with both. He's done it with the older guy like Eddie Royal and the younger guy like Marcus Cooper. Remember, Marcus Cooper last year was the guy that was sort of the Trey Burton of this.
Yes.
He was the guy that
Pro Bowl alternate, Marcus Cooper.
Right. They identified on a different roster who wasn't getting enough opportunity and thought he was young enough and was still ascending.
Yeah. See,
he was not ascending.
This is going to go back in time. I thought Cooper was fine until, like, his whole preseason was fine. His whole training camp was fine. And then for some, for godforsaken reason, he decides to drop the ball at the one and not score a touchdown against the Steelers.
Yeah.
Straight downhill for him since confidence lost, faith from his teammates lost. Vic Fangio probably wanted to cut him right there. Bad.
You can easily make the argument that he actually played worse than Mike Glennon.
Well,
it was like every time he came on the field in the second half of the season, they gave up a touchdown.
Well, he was never on the field. Never started. Like he never. Yeah. Was it the Lions game?
It was like he came in. It was like pass down the sideline, touchdown.
Yeah, Matthew Stafford. Oh, look, there's a Marcus Cooper. Let's go deep.
Wasn't that the random game where like they? And by the way, keep in mind with Kyle Fuller, there was that the reason he was on the field that game was because Kyle Fuller briefly got benched.
Yeah.
For like one series. Well, it was one series because Marcus Cooper was so bad.
Yeah, benched or. Or injured.
I think he got taken off. Or was Prince.
It's Prince?
I don't know.
Remember they had that weird rotation going on for a while, then they realized, okay, this is not going to work whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
It did. 2016. What a wonderful year. 2017. Everybody, 2016 was worse.
They did re-sign Prince, though, which I think was a good move.
Yeah.
Still
are the details out on that? I imagine there's an early out in that one.
You would think so. I haven't seen yet. But he's still 28. And, like, he's making good money, too.
Yeah, but it's just only $2 million increase off of last year.
Yeah.
In terms of annual average. Earned it, in a sense. He was pretty good.
I thought he played.
Great.
Yeah.
Can't be great if you're not getting any interceptions.
Everybody needs more interceptions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Chase Daniel really just here to help Mitch. Here's my question about that. You need your backup to build play. Can he play? I don't know.
Could Mark Sanchez play? I don't know.
I mean,
Mike Glennon play? I don't know. Look,
wait a minute. Mark Sanchez has played a lot in this league.
Yeah.
And he's not great, but he's not horrible.
Chase Daniel in his two games. Not bad, actually.
But if it had gotten to the point last year, like if Mitch had gotten hurt last year, as bad as Glennon played, he did have two decent games. He had one pretty good game. I would have been. I like the quarterback situation last year more than I do right now.
Okay.
Just overall, I think Mitch will play a lot better.
Like, okay.
He's going to ascend. That's how things work. But I'm talking about the depth at the position. And I know that's kind of crazy to say with Mike Glennon being the backup last year. But what I'm getting at is just I knew last year, okay, Glennon's already played four games. He can come in and run the offense. Sanchez has a long history of playing in this league. He's got experience. Chase Daniel, 9 years, I'm sure, well, he knows his offense, which is really good. I mean, that is a good thing. But we don't know if he can play. He's had two starts. Now, he's played okay in those games. But I think what they are looking at here is when he's coming to those games, he hasn't turned the ball over. I think he did have one interception, but he hasn't turned the ball over. He's going to know the offense, and he's going to be a good mentor for Mitch Trubisky.
No, so that all adds up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, more often than not, if you get to your backup quarterback,
You're screwed.
Yeah. Not every team has a viable option back there. You don't always have a Jimmy Garoppolo waiting in the wings. And who knows?
You don't always have Nick Foles.
Yeah, exactly. Which is by far the exception to all this. And who knows? Maybe the Bears draft the guy in the fifth or sixth round or something like that. Maybe that becomes an option for them. Tyler Bray. Forgot him, new third-string quarterback, obviously.
Whatever.
Connection with Matt Nagy and the Chiefs. But, hey, the draft's still coming up. We got some undrafted free agents. There's still moves to be made. Mark Sanchez still needs a contract. I don't think he has signed. So you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
It's early.
Yeah, I mean, Chase Daniel's fine. But
so a point for this, Adam. That's all right.
For what?
I thought you said you didn't like this Bears quarterback situation. Now Chase Daniel's fine.
I said he's fine. I said I liked it a little bit better last year when I at least knew those guys could play.
Mm-hmm. You liked it last year with Mike Glennon as your starting quarterback. Okay. Noted.
That's not what I said.
Yes, you did. I, that's exactly what I heard.
I said as the backup, not the starter.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. What else? Kicker? I have no idea what.
It's kind of a big problem for the Bears.
Yeah, it's a huge problem.
The ghost of Robbie Gould is like a real thing. And the guy's still alive.
Yeah, he's missed 2 field goals in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Or 2 years.
Worst decision Ryan Pace has made by far. And I know it wasn't all, it was his choice. I get it. But like John Fox and Jeff Rogers played a role in that. But bad move is, I'd say, worse than Alshon Jeffrey.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's been, well, I mean, there wasn't a replacement for Alshon last year, but, you know, hopefully there is now. But this kicker thing has been a nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been like, how many guys have they brought through the door? Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, like,
Carlos Santos.
why has Cody Parkey been on 4 teams in 4 years?
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a real good point.
I mean, that's a legitimate question I have.
Yeah, I get that teams change kickers often, and the Bears were spoiled for a decade with Robbie Gould. But you want some stability there if your team's going to be ascending, to use the football word.
Cairo Santos signed somewhere, too.
I have no idea.
Someone signed him.
And Carlos Santos.
Was that like, I don't know why I'm looking this up. Who cares?
Kicker news.
I just Googled Cairo Santos. The first headline is, Jets made a mistake signing Cairo Santos.
What did you see? They're you know, when you need stuff to critique, you just go after the kicker.
I love the media that covers the Jets. That's something special.
Yes, yes. Manish Menendez is my guy.
Yeah? Why is he your guy? Yeah.
Good dude.
Okay.
Good dude.
Who else have we missed here?
Megapunt's back.
That, okay, I was wondering why that was taking so long. And I'm still a little surprised it was a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
This goes to like how we don't know special teams at all. I'm okay not knowing special teams. Because I thought he was fine last year.
Didn't he have a couple punts tipped? And I don't know. Sometimes you don't know exactly what they're being asked to do in certain situations and directional punting and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Well, so Cody Parkey, Pat O'Donnell.
Who's the long snapper?
They don't have one, right?
They don't have one, okay.
You don't need a long snapper. They could just have Brock Olivo do the long snapping, too.
We're going to be simple. We're going to play fast. We're going to play hard. We're going to kill it, okay? This is a great acronym, you guys, right? Kill it. Keep it likable and learnable.
I met Brock Olivo.
You met him?
Yeah.
When?
Yeah, at the Combine.
Oh.
Nice guy. Seemed to like want to meet us, but it was just in passing. He was with the rest of the crew.
Did he tell you to kill it?
Yeah. It's a great acronym.
Keep it likable and learnable. That's what we do here on the Hogan Johns podcast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So what else do the Bears need to do here?
I want to talk about the draft for a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
I just had a mock draft come out, Adam.
Oh.
I'm into this mock draft business now. So yeah. You better watch out. I'll have a little big board, too.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. You accused me of copying you.
I changed that pick.
And I didn't even know that you had a mock draft, because I didn't know you did mock drafts. Mm-hmm. Now you do.
I'm in the mock
changed
draft.
It. Well, yes. Yeah, I mean, Josh Jackson doesn't necessarily make as much sense now that Kyle Fuller.
And I think the Bears' whole this dream situation of having the 4 quarterbacks go before him is going to happen. It's really going to happen. 3 for sure. 3 for sure.
I think 3 for sure now that the Jets have moved up is a clear indication they're taking one. The Jets were already ahead of the Bears at number 6. Now they're number 3, though. You don't make that move unless you're...
You don't give up 2 second-round picks. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going for a quarterback.
Yeah. You better be going for a quarterback.
So
if the Jets media gets a field day, the New York Jets select Saquon Barkley. Oh, great player, but
yeah,
you don't trade that much for him.
So we're thinking the Browns take 1 at 1.
Mm-hmm.
Who's at 2 again?
Giants.
The Giants? Probably not taking a quarterback.
Why not, though?
Actually, they're the team that everyone's saying is not going to, that will.
All right, so if he hear you, but they're in a perfect spot. Say you're not a believer in a Josh Rosen or a Baker Mayfield. You have the Buffalo Bills with 2 first-round picks. Hello.
Yeah.
Cardinals. Dolphins. Some team is going to want to leapfrog the New York Jets.
That's a good point. Because here's the thing. Okay. Cleveland's definitely taking one. I think Denver's taking one. And then the Jets are taking one. So we're basically saying that either the Giants have to take one or someone trades up. And it's the way things have been going the last few years. Someone's going to trade up.
Yeah.
So you're onto something that
I mean, the Bills moved up from 21 to 22, or 21 to 12.
Yeah.
So you know they're already they're getting closer. They're the one team. Armed with two first-round picks, it goes a long way.
Well, the dream scenario then for the Bears, and you want to keep seeing these types of trades. I mean, when the Jets traded up Saturday morning, that was great news for the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, and I've been saying this now for at least a month, there's four guys that I think are kind of above everybody, four non-quarterbacks who are above everyone else. By a little bit. I mean, I like Josh Jackson, too, at 8. But I don't even have him in the top four that I'm talking about. But that's Quentin Nelson, Saquon Barkley, Bradley Chubb, and Minkah Fitzpatrick. And Minkah might be the end up being the only one of those four that's still available at 8.
That was my pick.
Okay, so explain your reasoning.
Why not? Why would you not take a Minkah Fitzpatrick? I don't care what Pro Football Focus creates Adrian Amos.
Yeah, I agree.
You can put him on the field together.
Well, he could also play in the slot.
Yes, yes. He could be your nickel linebacker, your dime linebacker, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You're in sub packages so much. People get obsessed with, oh, who's going to start? You're in sub packages so much because of these pass happy leagues. Hey, let me just tell you what's going on in your own division. Kirk Cousins is now here. They go three wide all the time up in Detroit. Aaron Rodgers lives in Green Bay. Hello. Pretty good. Three very good quarterbacks in your division. You need very good defensive backs.
And someone's got to cover Jimmy Graham now.
Yeah. Minkah Fitzpatrick could be special. He could do so many different things for you. I get that you need a pass rusher. You know what? Minkah Fitzpatrick blitzed a lot at Alabama.
Well, and also, if you're not going to have a great group of edge rushers, and I've kind of conceded that already. I said this on last week's podcast. It's starting to remind me of the wide receiver situation from last year. A good way to cover that up is with good secondary. So, because I still think you're going to get pressure from your D-line. Like, let's not forget, Akeem Hicks can get after the quarterback.
I forget the exact stat, but I think like non-defensive linemen, I'm talking about inside linebackers and defensive backs, accounted for, like, I don't know, 18 sacks last year or something like that.
Yeah, well, it wasn't enough.
No, non-defensive linemen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, not your outside pass rushers and your Akeem Hicks of the world. It's like your Danny Trevathans, your Nick Kwiatkowskis, Bryce Callahan, I think he had 2 sacks or something like that. So, yeah, other guys getting in the
back. Well, and that's what I'm saying. If you have a good secondary and a good D line, Vic Fangio can scheme ways to get Nick Kwiatkowski to the quarterback. He can scheme ways to get Sam Macho to the quarterback. Those guys are not pure pass rushers. They're never going to be. But they're good enough and they're athletic enough to get there if everyone else is doing their job. So, you still have Akeem Hicks on that line. Andy Goldman, he was a lot better than people gave him credit for last year. Eating up blockers up front, and kind of an underrated move last week, I thought, was Mitch Unrein leaving to go to Tampa. Mitch Unrein was a very good player last year that didn't get enough attention, but I tweeted this out and everyone attacked me for it right away. And this is why you guys have to watch the film. Jonathan Bullard got a lot better last season. A lot better. He didn't get a lot of opportunity because that D-line was the healthiest unit on the entire team. For all the injuries we talked about last year, the D-line stayed healthy until Mitch Unrein went down, what was it, the last 3 weeks of the season or whatever
late,
it was?
Yeah, late. Even like last 2 weeks. Yeah.
So Bullard wasn't playing, not because he's bad, but because he was behind other guys. And Mitch Unrein was a John Fox favorite. So he was going to be on the field. So Mitch Unrein's departure opens the door for Jonathan Bullard, Roy Robertson-Harris, some of these younger guys, to get more playing time.
Can I just say something, too?
Sure.
Hello, everybody. Sometimes it takes 2 or 3 years for a player to cement himself in the NFL.
And he's a third-round pick.
Yes, yes. expecting 5-plus sacks from him in year one or year two is, look, just have reasonable expectations for some of these guys.
Yeah.
He could still be a pretty good serviceable NFL player. He's a third-round pick.
I think he's a fringe starter right now. So the question is, can he take that? I'm not saying he's going to do it. I'm not saying all of a sudden Jonathan Buller is going to be awesome next year. But what I'm saying is, I think Mitch Unrein is a loss. I think it's an underrated loss. But there's a guy there that's young who they drafted a couple years ago who, I'm telling you, if you watch the film, was a lot better in 2017 than he was in 2016. And could take if he takes that same step in 2018 that he just did last year, he is starting caliber. And that's a pretty good D line, as long as those guys stay healthy, to help what could be a good secondary and make up for what I'm unfortunately thinking is going to be a pass rush.
He often talked about his rookie year, about how this was such a big adjustment from him coming out of Florida.
Yeah, he was a 4-3. He wasn't
defensive end sometimes.
You could criticize the draft pick because he wasn't at all 3-4 fit. But the get-off was still there. It was on film last year. He can be good.
Give him time, people. Give him time. But you're right, though. If you're going to be weak in an area, and right now it's probably the edge rush, strengthen elsewhere. And adding a Minkah Fitzpatrick would do that. I get that Tremaine Edmonds, the Virginia Tech linebacker, hybrid guy, whatever you want to call him, is very intriguing. Being compared to Brian Urlacher in terms of overall athleticism. I don't know where quite he fits, though. Which is great for Vic Fangio. He can figure it out.
I've watched a couple of his games, and there's something missing for me. It's not popping out on film to me.
You want more juice?
I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just watching the wrong games, but I watched a couple last week, and it didn't scream top 8 pick to me. And I don't know that he's a pass rusher.
I don't know if Leonard Floyd screamed that to me when I watched him.
I had him 9th on my board. I agree. I didn't. He was like kind of fringe to the point where I was like, okay, yeah. I kind of understand. That's where they ended up drafting him.
Well, that's where you're drafting on a projection there with Leonard Floyd. Has it completely worked out? I don't know. Tremaine Edmonds is a projection. Minkah Fitzpatrick, look, everybody's a projection. But he seems like such a sure thing. And the Bears need a few sure things, and I think he immediately upgrades not only your secondary, but your defense, just the options available that he provides because of his versatility, his special versatility. I think he could be such a unique piece for Vic Fangio's defense.
I don't release my Bears draft board or my big board until like the week of the draft. Usually,
I'm looking for it.
But I'm telling
you don't have even the board present in your
office.
Well,
I'll tell you. I'm almost
very little bored too, by the way.
Almost 100, yeah, the Bears little bored. I'll tell you that very good chance Quentin Nelson's number one on that board.
Yeah. Yeah. A guard.
That's how good I think he is.
Yeah.
I just think he's the safest pick. I think he's gonna be a dominant offensive lineman. And really it's between him and Saquon Barkley. But between those two, there's a little bit more risk with a running back, right?
Nowadays, yeah.
And even though I think Barkley is going to be great, let me paint this scenario for you. There's been, I don't know if you call it rumors or just side talk or whatever, that Jordan Howard that this regime isn't necessarily in love with him.
I think some people call this whispers.
Okay.
I don't know who's whispering into people's ears in this business, but apparently they are.
Let me say it this way. I don't know how they couldn't like him because he's been incredibly productive and is just a really dependable back that plays through injury. He had a banged up shoulder last year. Never heard about it.
Yep.
Picks up yards. Is he special? I don't necessarily think he's special.
He's very good.
I think he's
better than good.
Right. But I can also see why in this offense his value goes down a little. Because he's not a good pass catcher. He just isn't. And Saquon Barkley is. And I think Saquon Barkley is special.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to be there at number 8. That would surprise me. But what if they... Let's not forget about all these offensive moves. Like, that's clearly the focus this offseason. And what if they believe he's like the missing piece with Trubisky and the weapons they've added outside? Is there any kind of weird situation this year where they just Ryan Pace traded up the last 3 years?
Oh, I don't know if they trade up and get him.
I didn't think they were going to do it last year either.
Yeah, yeah. Well, quarterbacks are different than running backs. If he falls to them at 8, and this scenario could play out that way. Like you said, 3 very good other players in that top 4 you have. Chubb, Nelson, and Fitzpatrick. If Barkley's there at 8, I think you take him.
How does Cleveland pass on Barkley, though, with their second pick?
Oh, I'd be foolish not to. But again, that's a situation where if a team wants to leapfrog the Broncos, say someone wants Josh Allen and is afraid the Denver Broncos are going to take him at 5. It could happen. And that'll be after the Giants pass on a Saquon Barkley. You know, there's some whispers that the Giants like Saquon Barkley aplenty. Meet a contributor, go with Eli Manning.
I just can't see him falling to 8. Tampa's a problem at 7.
Yep.
So, I don't know.
You never know. Draft's a funny thing, bro.
There was one tiny thing Ryan Pace said the other day that I think kind of got overlooked, but is true. Ryan Pace said that they've been aggressive when they've needed to be aggressive.
It's true.
I don't know if that was a direct quote, but that's basically
what it is. I think Kyle Fuller counts for that, too. Speaks to that aggressiveness.
Well, that's what I mean. He's been very, I don't even know if conservative is the right word, but very cautious and
well, especially with we talking free agency or draft or just philosophy?
In general, okay. Yeah, deliberate. I mean, especially with free agency. But when Ryan Pace has had conviction on guys, he has not been afraid to just make sure it happens.
Yeah.
Not been afraid to make sure they get Allen Robinson, right? Or, you know, when it came down to it with Kyle Fuller, just had to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And certainly Trubisky is the most extreme example. So that's what I'm saying. I don't know, given Ryan Pace's track record here, if he has conviction on one guy, and maybe it's Barkley, maybe it's Quentin Nelson, whatever, I guess I wouldn't rule. He has shown that he doesn't really mind giving up a couple mid-round picks to make sure that he gets a really good player.
Here's my counter-argument. You have so many roster spots to fill
right now.
So many. And last year you had, what, a 5-player draft class?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they do think it could be a very good one. Eddie Jackson's working out. Tariq Cohen's working out. Edward Shaheen, we're kind of up in the air. Mitch Trubisky, it better work out. It's almost where more the merrier needs to be an approach here.
I don't know, because I think that he's I'm guessing that his thinking is, all right, would we rather have 2 players we might think are decent, like reserve type depth guys in the middle rounds, or if we can move up a couple spots here and get this one guy that we're in love with who we think can be a starter, let's go get that starter instead of 2 reserves. And that's where I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but I think you've also seen, look at the Cody Whitehair pick. They looked at the value of their board and had the same similar rankings on players, right? So they kept adding to the draft, trading. They traded down twice, right? And took Cody Whitehair. Solid player. Very good player in my book. So, yeah, so it works both ways. So if you're sitting there at 8 and you have this cluster of players, well, you know you're going to get one of them, you know, those 4 players. Do you even need to move up if you have that conviction in all 4 of them?
Right, but I don't disagree with that. I think that's smart.
So you're thinking like a Barkley's like the Trubisky.
Right, that's okay, what I'm saying. Okay. And it might not even be Barkley. It might be Nelson. It might be Chubb. They really need a pass rusher right now. Maybe they're absolutely in love with Bradley Chubb. I'm just saying. We've both brought up scenarios that are correct. And I think we're now in year 4 that we've got a better idea how Ryan Pace and his group approaches the draft. And you're absolutely right. They're not afraid to trade back when they have a cluster of guys that they grade similarly. But when it's time to grab the guy they absolutely think is going to be good, they trade up. Didn't they trade up? Did they make a second trade up last year for?
Is that Eddie Jackson?
Jackson?
Yeah.
I think that was.
So, I mean, that philosophy applies throughout the draft.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. Yes.
So they get, if they're starting to get close to their pick, whether it's number 8 overall or it's 147 or whatever it is. They're starting to get there, and they look at their draft board and they see a guy that is graded so much higher than the rest of the cluster right there. They're going up to get him, and I'm okay with that, no matter where it is in the draft, because I'd rather have the starter.
Yep.
Than this idea that bodies, yes, they got to fill the roster. But if you look at every roster in...
We're talking about the 90-man roster, too.
Right. And you get, and this is my favorite thing that happens every season I've ever covered the Bears. We spend so much time worrying about like the 80th guys and the, you know, the 70th.
The 93rd guys sometimes, yeah.
And we're in Bourbonnais. We're like, oh, this guy got cut, like blah, blah, blah. And then every year, it's October or it's November, and there are three dudes over in the corner in the locker room. I don't know who they are.
Yes.
And they're at least on the practice squad. You know, like, we're talking now about the 58th man or the 60th man.
Those guys change, like, every week.
Right.
In and out, in and out, in and out.
Yeah. And even the bottom of the 53, constantly
yes.
churning.
Yes, yes.
And that even goes for the Patriots and the Eagles, and, they, like, that happens.
Yes.
So...
You want your 46, your 40-man roster, right. Your 38-man roster.
So if the last 20 guys on this roster end up being all undrafted free agents...
Yeah, they're going to sign it.
That's fine. That's fine.
We go too nuts about those guys, too.
Right, because a couple of them...
Everybody loves finding a diamond in a rough.
Right.
It's more rough than diamonds, though.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Is there anything else we should hit up here before we get out of here?
No, man. Draft Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
You can't copy.
Well, I'm not the one making the pick. That's Ryan Pace.
Okay.
I just realized we don't have Ryan Pace sound bites. He doesn't really see anything that's...
Well, we have to...
Soundboard.
Without the... What does the Fox say? We'll reinvent our soundboard a little bit, I think.
I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it.
More stuff like that?
Yes.
Okay.
Fox was a gold mine for us, though.
I know. We gotta... That's what I'm hoping.
Even beyond what does the Fox say? I don't think Matt Nagy is going to give us those points.
We can do more with Fangio than we have.
Yeah.
He delivers something every week.
Do your research.
Yes, he does. I think he's going to do it more now, so he's like emboldened.
All right, let's continue this love fest.
Exactly.
That was radio gold.
Yes.
We turned that into rejoins and all kinds of stuff on Sports Central, which, by the way, you can listen to Monday through Friday on WGNradio.com, 1 to 2 p.m. live.
Who's filling in for you this week?
Kevin Powell. Is filling in. I am going to Florida. You are also going to Florida, but you're going to Florida to work.
Yes, yes. Owners' meetings.
I am going. I'm skipping the owners' meetings this year. So make sure you cover them well.
Thumbs up.
Those are what, Sunday through Wednesday?
Yes. Do your research.
Do your research.
I'm going to Key West, and I'm going to research beaches and dolphins.
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 Yeah, James is going to swim with some dolphins.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
For real?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. Is he too young?
I don't know. What's the appropriate age to swim with dolphins?
I know. I don't know. We've talked about it. But yeah, I am not going to be covering the owners' meetings, which is fine with me. I got to charge up for baseball season.
Yeah, you do.
I got a different type of summer coming up that I got to handle. So opening day is only 8, 9, 10, 11 days away.
Really? Okay.
So I'm going to spend 7 of those 11 days not thinking about football, not thinking about baseball.
Although you do have a lot more baseball books in your football collection.
We'll be bringing
it. It's also your biggest book.
My baseball
book. Massive.
Prospectus.
Yes.
And our White Sox media guide and our Baseball America prospect handbook.
Get after it, my friend. I'm happy for you.
Do your research.
That's what I'll be doing.
Where's your Dolphins book?
Maybe I'll say hi to Adam Gase while we're down there.
Yeah.
And this guy.
Golly.
All right. We should get out of here.
All right, man. Have fun on vacation.
Have fun in
Orlando.
Orlando.
Yes.
That's what it is. I haven't been to the Orlando one yet.
It's nice.
It was in Boca the year I went for Florida.
Yeah, did not like that location.
You didn't like it?
No. Orlando is very convenient.
Yeah.
Very nice hotel. Like, you stay on property in Orlando. In Boca Raton, you're...
Oh, yeah, that was like... We driving 20 minutes every day.
Yeah, it was very inconvenient.
It was weird. All right, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, for tweets from the beach and dolphins. At Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S, if you'd actually like football information from Orlando. Yes. You can read him, ChicagoSuntimes.com. I'm probably not going to write from Key West.
No, hashtag so, dolphins.
But you can still go to WGNRadio.com/bears if you'd like. And, I don't know, subscribe, rate, review the podcast. Unfortunately, we won't have one from the owners' meetings like we have the last couple years. But it's almost...
Hey, I'll call you on your show.
You should.
Let's do it.
Next week. Yeah. Yeah. And, no, we're almost April, and we will have four... basically going weekly again once we get to April like we always do for the NFL draft. So subscribe, rate, review the podcast. We'll be back soon. And dial it up for the NFL draft next month. We'll talk to you then.